pastors are kind of nerds and a little bit of geeks, and I am one of them. And many pastors, you know, to become a pastor, you need to study, and one of the things you study is the original languages of the Bible. The New Testament is written in Greek, and the Old Testament written in Hebrew. And as most nerdy pastors, I have my favorite Greek word from the New Testament, and that Greek word shows up today. That word is splegnon, and it's actually kind of hard to say because there's a point where it has a G, C, H, N all in a row. It's splegnon. Literally, this word is your guts. It's your intestines. It's your liver. It's your kidneys. It's all the stuff right in here. That's your splegnon. It's the place for, in the New Testament, where your emotions are. It's the place where you feel from. So like where in our English, we might say if say there's a tragedy, you might say, well, my heart really goes out to those who are suffering. In New Testament Greek, you would say, my splegnon really goes out to those who are suffering. My intestines, my liver, my kidney really goes out to those who are suffering. And so because of how that's used, this word is often translated in our Bibles as compassion or pity. I have pity for that person. I feel a lot of compassion for that person. My guts go out to them. And so we see this word a lot. Jesus uses this word, and it's used of Jesus quite often. When Jesus is traveling around the countryside, and there's a great crowd of people who are following along with them, and they've been traveling with him for a long time, he looks out upon this crowd, and he has splegnon. He has compassion. He has pity for them. And so, he feeds them. And in another case, he's walking around, and there's a person who is suffering from leprosy, which is a terrible disease to suffer for. And Jesus sees this person, and he has splegnon for this person. He has compassion. He has pity. And so he heals him. In the parable, the story of the Good Samaritan is walking on the road and sees a man beaten up by thieves, robbed, and left for dead on the side of the road that nobody else seems to be wanting to take care of. And the Good Samaritan has compassion. He has splegnon for this man. And so he helps the man up. He takes him to an inn. He cares for him. He sees that his needs are met, that they're paid for. He has compassion on this person. Jesus, at another point, is again with the crowd, and they're following along, and he looks out upon this crowd, and he has compassion, he has pity on them, his guts, his splegnon goes out to them, and it's because of this. Because he sees this crowd, and they are sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus has so much compassion and pity for them that we see what he is willing to do in John chapter 10. Four times Jesus says here what he, as a good, loving, compassionate, and full of pity kind of shepherd he is going to lay down his life for the sheep. And this is echoed again also in 1 John. In John's letter that he sends out, his first letter, he talks about this as well. That he talks about how God defines love by what Jesus has done for us. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. This is the gospel. This is what Jesus has done for you, what he has done for all people, should they come to believe in Christ. This is the gospel. But then John, in his letter, gets to the call, and what might be called the law, might be the command to us. Jesus shows us his love. He shows us what love is by laying down his life for us. And then John says this, that we ought to lay down our lives for one another. This is what we are called to do. What Christ did for us, we are to do for others. And then John goes a little bit farther and tells us what laying down our lives might look like in verses 17 to 18. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. God's love does not abide in one who refuses help. Literally, the words there say, God's love does not abide in one who closes up his splagnon against his brother. The love of God does not abide, does not dwell in us if we do not have compassion and pity on other people. And he goes further. He says it's not just about having compassion, watching the news and seeing people suffering and go, oh, I feel sorry for them. It's having compassion in truth and action. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. When Jesus had compassion, he fed the crowd. When he had compassion, he healed the leper. When he had compassion, the good Samaritan goes to the man in the ditch and helps him up and cares for him. When Jesus had compassion, he died for his sheep. God's love does not abide in one who closes up his compassion and pity against his neighbor. Is your splagnon opened or closed today? Is it opened up in truth and deed, or is it closed up against others? When we see news about refugees, when we see news about those who are hungry, those who are poor, when we hear about foster children, when we hear about the sick, how far does our compassion, our pity take us? And this, by the way, is not a question that John is posing to a political society. This isn't a word to Americans asking, what do Americans do about these people? This is a word to the church, a word to believers. How do you, as followers of Christ, open up your splagnon for other people? How do you show your compassion, your pity, your love for other people? Because if you don't, God's love doesn't abide in you. How do we show our love for those who need it? These are questions that the Evangelism Committee and I are starting to engage in so that we as a church can do better in these things. Because if we don't understand the depths of what God has done for us and how we are supposed to do it for others, then maybe we need to do better at understanding exactly what God has done for us. What has God done for me, a sinner, who deserves nothing? He has laid down his life for me. And I owe it to the Lord to do the same for others. And the beauty of this passage is that we can really only have this conversation about how we have compassion, how we have pity for others, how we show our love, that the love of God is abiding in us, in our action, in our deeds, because Christ first had compassion and pity on us. That's the only reason we can do this. We can have this conversation. That's the reason we are here too. We have this because Christ first laid down his life for us. His sacrifice, his love, his splagnon for us should change us. It should affect us. We talked about this before, that Christians, believers, should look different than the rest of the world. We are called by God's love, and we are caused by it, driven by God's love for us, to go and show love for others. For some strange reason, God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. That's how much compassion and pity he has for us. And for some stranger reason yet, he calls his people to go out and represent him by showing that love to others. And maybe it was a terrible mistake of God's, but it's the way it is. And so we, as people who are of the way, of the truth and of the life, people who believe in Christ, are called then to go out, love our neighbor, open up our compassion and pity in not just word and deed, but in truth and action. Let us pray. O Lord, would you inspire us by your Holy Spirit, first to see just how great the depths of your love are for us, what you have done for us, how you have laid down your life that we might have life in your name. Help us to know that. And then inspire us, O Lord, by your Spirit, to go and show that love to others. Make it so that we cannot help but do that, to see and care for those who are in need. We pray this in your name. Amen.